Karen Laritz says we all need to have an Elizabeth in our lives. Here's what she means.
We all need to find some woman in your life that's going to hold our feet to the fire. She will invest time, energy, her wisdom, and hold you accountable.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, July 31st.
The word friend has taken on a whole new meaning in a world influenced by social media. It's often used to describe someone you barely know who follows your life at a safe distance and communicates by clicking a like button. Well, yesterday, Karen Laritz gave us a far richer portrait of friendship. She described a community of women who will encourage you, challenge you, and stick with you through the most difficult times. And I'm so thankful to have a community of women like that in my life. I can't imagine living this Christian life without the encouragement and help I get from that group of women. Well, Karen is no stranger to Revive Our Hearts listeners. She's a pastor's wife, and she and her husband, Crawford, have both spoken at a number of True Woman conferences. That's where she delivered the message that we'll hear today. If you missed part one of this series, you can hear it at reviveourhearts.com. As we finished yesterday, Karen was describing one of the disciplines that she's trying to develop in order to be a good friend. She shared how she's learning to hold her tongue and refrain from cutting others down with her words. Wow, so important. We're going to pick back up today as Karen describes the ways that we can use our words to build up one another in community.
So what are some of the scriptures that we can import into communication? 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another just as you also are doing." Encourage one another. How can you encourage your friend? God has blessed you to have this friend. You must now encourage one another. James 5:16, the second thing is pray. Second thing is pray. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. That means that you have a level of trust that this person loves you, is committed to you, and will hold a confidence. Now, out of our 14 friends, there's a core of about 3 to 5 of them that I will just immediately think that I need to call them on this. If I was thinking right, instead of being so self-centered and prideful when I was going through my emotional meltdown, I would have called one of these 3 to 5 ladies and says, "Will you pray for me? Because I am not feeling this. I am hurting. I'm scared about my mammogram. I'm scared about the doctor's report. I'm scared about being alone in the house. I hear the walls actually breathing. Will you pray for me? Will you come over for me?" And they would do that and hold my confidence. So pray. Ephesians 5:19, communication means to encourage. I communicate by praying, confessing to each other. Ephesians 5:19, speaking. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to God. I also want you to jot down Ephesians chapter 4, I'll tell you what verse, 15. So we have Ephesians 5:19, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So I like the idea of communication, but also courage. It takes courage to be able to have a girlfriend to come to you that she's invested a lot of her time, same thing with you, that you can speak and tell them the truth. I don't want someone who's going to tell me what I don't need to know, or they're just going to say they're a yes girl. I want someone who's going to be bold enough to say, "Karen, you're screwing up. Act right. Stop whining. Stop making all kinds of excuses. Enough is enough." I need somebody to tell me that. Now, I like all the other ringing and twisting, but I want one of my girlfriends that I can trust to speak the truth to me. That takes courage to do that. It takes courage to be able to speak the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with the melody being led by the Holy Spirit, but I also want you to speak the truth to me in love. Do you do that to your friends? Are you a good girlfriend? Communication is really, really key. Don't use your hormones to give you excuse. I was trying to figure out when that time in the month, really, out of all the 4 weeks in the month, there's really 1 week that everything's okay. That's not biblical. There's no place in the Bible where it says, Dawn, there's one time in a month that you're allowed to be spiritual and make melody and love and honor and be kind. Not in my Bible anyway. I don't know what version you may have, but God says, trust him with all the other 3 weeks in the month so that you'll be able to give and receive truth with courage. You understand what I'm saying? It takes commitment, good communication, forgiveness, and reconciliation. You be a blessing. And the word I would put down is be gracious. Be gracious. I want to be, should God tarry, should I still be around when I'm maybe 70 or 80 and people still want to be around me? But we have some old, cranky women that no one wants to be around. I want to be around that my kids would still want to call me. I may not be able to talk right, but they would still want to be around because I'm not whining and griping about every ache and pain. We're always going to have ache and pains. I get out of bed now and I have to shake my body down. You know, get this leg moving and that hill and all this. You know? But I don't want to be that old woman that people want to stick me in a corner somewhere. My girlfriends have given up on me a long time ago because every time at the retreat, I'm whining and complaining about nothing. Everybody got aches and pains. Nothing is going right. But they still love me. You understand what I'm saying to you? I want to be that. I want to grow old gracefully. So communicate. Be gracious. It will not hurt you. It's not going to hurt. I promise it won't hurt. Quickly. So we looked at commitment and communication / courage. We want to look at community. Community, as we look at that, is as we establish a relationship, we strengthen the relationship by talking right and by being right and doing all those right things. Community involves nurture the relationship, fellowship. One thing that women, we do well, we like to celebrate anything. We just enjoy just getting around on nothing but sipping coffee. Listen, men will not have a good time here at this conference. If this was a true man conference, first of all, their seats wouldn't be as close. There would be every other seat. They would never want to stand in the bathrooms in line and just chit-chat and talk. We love it. God made us that way. We love that fellowship together. We need each other. We need each other when we have to go through some of these surgeries we may have to go through. What better to have a woman that loves you, a girlfriend that loves you, that's going to bring over that same old casserole, you know, perpetrated as I made this meal, put in a different dish, and take it to my friend when they are having it. We love stuff like that. We are community. We love fellowship. So what are some of the things we can import as we nurture this relationship? First of all, let me give you the two T's. Nurture relationship takes time and takes trust. We need to allow our girlfriends to invade our space. Some of us are just too tight. We don't want anybody in. But the long distance relationships, those that are going to cross the finish line with you, are going to be those girlfriends that you have invested time and you have entrusted with much. Your best friend will criticize you privately but encourage you publicly. Best friends take a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. You know, we've been friends for 30-some years. Only get together once a year. We talk throughout the year with various groups of us. But once we get together, it's like we haven't missed each other. I was on my way to do at a conference in Mexico, and I was changing planes in Houston and got a call on my cell that one of my best friends, one of the Stones' daughter, who was 26 years old, who had diabetes, juvenile diabetes, had died. And they wanted us to be a part of this celebration of Jessica's homegoing. It was incredible to spend the next 4 days separated by all those miles while my friend, her second child that she had lost, she lost the first Remington through heart. He was 5 months old, died on the operating table. Now Jessica had now died. Her son, Jonathan, was serving his fifth year incarcerated. This is a woman that loved life, loved God, and yet God had called two of her children home. And through no fault of her own, her son was in jail. Incredible, incredible amount of grief that was in that family. But she was such an encouragement to us. That time, she ministered to us and says, we're just going to wait and have this celebration when we all Stonewalls can get together and give Jessica the celebration. Community, nurture relationship, that came over time. It didn't happen overnight. But she could entrust the burial of her daughter to her precious friends. We were her pallbearers. So what are the things we can import in community? Galatians 5:13, community, friends, we serve one another. It says, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. How can you meet your friend's need? When Remington, at 5 months, was in the hospital looking at having open heart surgery, we went down to the Ronald McDonald house and just had a laughing good time serving her when she couldn't serve herself. And she was, at that time, the mother of 10. So she left a big part of the responsibilities to us, to the other children. But while she was in the midst of watching her baby have to go through open heart surgery, we stepped in and served where she needs to serve, washing other people's clothes. I don't do too much ironing, but even Karen can iron. Allowing another woman to come into your house and clean your house. That's a big one. Serving one another. Community also involves Galatians 6:2. Burdens. It says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Now, we're not saying that you carry and don't let take their burdens from them. They carry their own burdens, but you can walk beside them and offer them the help and the hope, even in the midst of crisis when they can't carry it themselves. You don't say, I understand how you're feeling, Vivian, because I didn't understand. 26-year-old daughter is dead. I didn't understand that. But what I can say is that my heart breaks for you. And I'm here to bear your burden with you, whatever I can carry with you. Another area, Ephesians 5:21. It says submit, mutual submission. It says, and be subject to one another in fear, in the fear of Christ. That community means as we get together that we mutually honor and respect and submit to one another as we fear Christ. That is what we're called to do. Two more. Romans 15:7 says, acceptance. Wherefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Accept one another. Out of my 14 girlfriends, there are some that we are completely different. They're not like I am. We don't have the same gifts and talents and abilities, but I accept them as God created gifts to my life. Do you do that? Accept your girlfriends? And the last one, 1 Thessalonians 5:13, peace. Peace says, be at peace with one another. Be at peace with one another. Not having a bunch of strife and arguments all the time. That could be a hint that there's something that's amiss in the relationship. But be at peace with one another. Don't be able to go to your friends and just unleash a bunch of toxic waste all over a person. You know, people, sometimes you ever had a friend, little F, or acquaintance that every time you see him, you want to run the other way because you know you're going to be dumped on. It's like a dump truck. Come here and they just dump all that stuff on you. And you feel so yucky. And you just want to leave the neighborhood. Or you may have a family member, if they can just leave the family. No, not really. But we can be at peace with one another because peace resides with me. Are you a peaceable person to be with? Women, we always get a bad rap on stuff. You read through the book of Proverbs, it's talking about we're, you know, it's like being in a desert with a woman that's just whining and dripping. It's like being in a desert or on the top of a roof. We get a bad rap, but it's true. There's nothing like a woman that's always kicking up stuff, never happy. She's always whining. She always has something that she wants to dump on you. Well, that's not a real girlfriend. Get rid of the toxic waste. Some of us, like I said, need to get rid of some of those bloodsuckers, those barnacles. Figure out which person over the course of several years have meant you no good, that God has been whispering that you need to move to the next level spiritually. But this person seems to be holding you back like a kite. They just won't let you go. You need to get rid of them. Now, we talked about developing these friendships, but there's something that you need to have in your life beyond these friends. I call them the Elizabeth, the Mary, and the Martha crew. Now, the Elizabeth person is an older woman. One of the great things that happened to me when we moved from Dallas, Texas to Atlanta, Georgia, is that I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And so, you know, I was like, pitiful. I was so pitiful. I knew nothing about it. Only thing I knew, I loved this man, and he was a minister, but he was born and raised in an intact family, a mother and a father, you know, mother who just loved her husband. She was like that June Cleaver or the Claire Huxtable. I'm serious. His mom had white pearls and an apron on, and then me, teenage, single parent, welfare, but I got saved. We met in college, and God had a laughing good time and put us together. And so you had this two different backgrounds coming together. It was like the collision of two mighty seas that's coming together. Vroom! And so I needed help. I needed help because I love my husband, but he was a man's man. And I was, you know, raised to be self-sufficient. But I knew that that was in God's way. God had called me to this. He had saved me, and now I was going to be the first in my family to walk and talk the Bible. And so I needed help. And so Sister Ponder, she sort of, when I got to this church, she sort of scoped me out. She sort of scoped me out because this is my body language. You know, you don't have to say anything, and your husband says something, you don't have to have, and it's body language is saying, I don't care what you say. I'm not going to do it today. And so she must have scoped me out. I don't know if it was my body language that gave me away, but she came up to me and she introduced herself. She says, I am so glad that you're here and welcome to Atlanta, Georgia, da-da-da-da-da. And I had these two little babies, a five-year-old and a nine-month-old. And she just got into my life. And that was kind of hard for me because she was like, I said to myself, I have a mother. But Sister Ponder was abandoned by her husband to raise six children. And God turned her around incredibly. And so she knew something about what I was going through. And she was this older woman. So she just came and made herself a sit down in my life. And she became my Elizabeth, this older woman. And she would tell me stuff that would curl your hair. In a nice way. In a nice way. You know, I thought that I was talking to my husband right. But this Elizabeth in my life would just say, well, Karen, is there another way that, and then she'd just go on and say what I needed to do. And I would be mad at her, wouldn't call her that next week or not answer the phone when I knew that she was calling me and all that kind of stuff. But we need Elizabeth in our life, someone that will speak into her life. What does this Elizabeth look like? She's an older woman. She will invest time, energy, wisdom, and will hold you accountable for maturity in Christ. We all need to find some woman in your life that's going to hold our feet to the fire. She will invest time, energy, her wisdom, and hold you accountable. We need Elizabeth in your life. And I think we need maybe a couple Elizabeth. I've had three altogether. There's been three ladies, and they were older women. They don't have to be chronologically older, but for me, that really helped me out because they were seasoned women. And when they spoke, there was something that the weight, you just saw God just coming off the words that they had to say. And I was able to receive it because I was a hard head. So we need to have an Elizabeth. Another person we need to have in our life is a Mary. A Mary is a young person that we can invest our own lives in. A young person that we can give time and energy and hold them accountable. This is a young person. Because we have been given much, we need to give much. And then for sure we need a Martha. All of us need a peer, somebody who's our peer. That we're maybe in the same age group like my Stones. We're going through the same season in life. We're respecting each other's time. We give each other that time and energy. We hold each other accountable. So it's a mutual relationship. So the Elizabeth is the older person. The Mary is a young person. And the Martha is a peer. Those types of things will help us to mature in Christ. When we get to the finish line in life, I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I may have gotten across the finish line a little raggedy, a little worn and torn, but I want to get across the finish line fulfilling what God has called me to do. And we need this other group of people to help us in this whole portrait of friendship.
That's my good friend, Karen Loritz, and I couldn't agree more with what she shared with us. Karen's been helping us see how in true godly community, we all need an Elizabeth, a Mary, and a Martha, a mentor, a protege, and a peer. Karen's going to be back in just a moment to pray, but as you listened, did anyone come to mind as a potential mentor? I've found that women are often willing to mentor and encourage others, but they're just waiting to be asked. And who in your life could become a closer peer? And finally, is there anyone that you need to reach out to as a protege? You have no idea how big of an impact you could have on that woman's life. Listen, don't wait for other women to reach out to you. I hope you'll take a step in reaching out to other women and begin to develop the kind of authentic community that we've been hearing about from Karen Loritz.
Thanks, Nancy. Karen Loritz delivered the message you heard today at a breakout session during one of the True Woman conferences. It's an example of the kind of authentic, practical instruction you'll hear when you join us for True Woman this September. This year's conference is called True Woman 12, Seeking Him Together for Spiritual Awakening. I hope you'll join Nancy Lee DeMoss, Keith and Kristen Getty, Bob Lapine, Janet Parshall, Priscilla Shire, Mary Cassian, and Johnny Erickson Tata for this event. I hope you'll join us September 20th through the 22nd in Indianapolis. Tickets have been going very fast, so get the details at reviveourhearts.com. Bless you. It's not just something you say after a sneeze. The concept of blessing is profound. Nancy shows us why tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Now here's Karen Loritz to close today's program in prayer.
Lord, we just, as women, we just love just getting together and having a good old time. I pray, Father, that all of us will take to heart all the things we talked about concerning about this portrait of friendship, but more so, that you will bring into all of our lives Elizabeth, an older woman that will love on us, to hold us accountable, that will give us that godly wisdom to help us to get to the next level. We need that Martha in our lives, that girlfriend, that with this mutual agreement and accountability. We're investing together. We have this energy together. We're helping each other get across the finish line. Then we need that young girl, that Mary. Lord, there's so many young girls that need someone to love them and be trailblazers for them. Bring to mind those women that we just applaud and celebrate that are in our lives, that relationship will continue to grow. We pray that we'll have courage enough to get rid of those barnacles, those bloodsuckers that are just sucking the very life out of us. Lord, we want to be women that are true women of God. Lord, thank you for who you are and for what you've given us and for all the things that's going to spur us on to good works. We say yes, Lord, and we thank you. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.